It's knowing how these clients are going to tick, knowing what their hot buttons are, what they're concerned about, what's going on with their family, what's going on with their health, and being a real human being.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fretzen, and this is my announcer voice, apparently. So good to have you. I'm happy to put together another show and continue to give you value as you are a valued listener. If you like the show and this isn't your first time, please take a moment to like us on your Apple phone or anywhere that you're listening to this podcast, Be That Lawyer. And I want to take a moment to, before I introduce Chris, who's waiting in the wings. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
What's up? All good, man. Very good. Let me take a moment to thank our sponsors. We've got three sponsors now. We've got Practice Panther, who's killing it on the practice management side. We've got Legalese Marketing, who's killing it on the social media, branding, marketing side. And of course, Money Penny. So if you need a live virtual receptionist or someone on your website to make sure you don't lose people, that's what Money Penny does. And they're the best. Love Money Penny. Chris, thanks for being on the show. Welcome. How are you?
I am doing great, Steve. I'm really looking forward to being on the show here.
Well, you better impress us. We're all counting on you.
I remember when you first got started, there were a lot of doubts about how many shows you'd actually do, and you're already past the number 200. That's
Yeah. I had my dad, Larry Fretzen, on the show, got to interview the old man and see what he has to say about practicing law. It was kind of fun, kind of shticky to do. But look, the guy crushed it in his career, and he did put money away, and he's living off of those retirement savings. And I hit him up for taking my brother and sister out of the will, and he wasn't going to have it. So yeah. I made the effort. Didn't happen.
I'll give you some techniques for that later.
Oh, man. I should have had you on the show first.
Yes.
Chris, you were so kind to give me a quote of the show, and I think it's so funny, and I want to hear why you submitted it. It's only when the tide goes out, you discover who's been swimming naked. That's a Warren Buffett. Warren Buffet. I think that's how it's pronounced. Anyway, that's his quote. Why did you submit that quote? I think that's hilarious.
You know, we're looking at markets right now, and whether we're talking about technology stocks or cryptocurrencies, and you know, it's a little sexy quote. Maybe not if you and I are swimming naked, but you know, the idea of what's going on in the market. Everyone's always asking me, "Hey, how am I going to make some money?" Or "Is this thing going to tank?" That's not necessarily what we do, or I should say that's a portion of what we do, looking at markets, trying to figure out whether they're good investments. More importantly, trying to keep our clients from making bad investments.
Yeah.
It's a tough time out there.
No crystal ball?
We all have crystal balls.
There's a lot of crystal balls going on.
There's a lot of crystal balls.
I got the one that you shake up and then look and see what it says.
Right. No, we're okay. We're okay with the eight ball there.
The eight ball. Okay. The magic eight ball. Chris Engelman is my friend. He's my client. He's with Parkside Investments. He's my paddle buddy. Now he's getting into pickle and we've been playing tennis forever. How did you finish out your paddle season? I think everybody wants to know.
You know, I was pretty much 500. It was funny. I played some Series 8. I was 500. I played some Series 4. I was 500. Okay. Then I played Series 3 and then I was 800 on that one. So really doesn't matter what series you play. It's all about what court you're playing and who's your partner that day. And you come out with the right attitude. And
it's nice when you have a partner you can communicate with. I had a partner where if I said anything, like he'd lose his mind on me. Like if I notice something we need to change, it's like, what? I don't change. This is how I do it. I'm like, oh my God.
Maybe it's how you approach that partner.
I approached him with a knife. It was fine. You know, he should have taken my advice. You know, as the club champion of my club, you know, you should take the advice of the club champion, even if he's not wielding a knife.
It is amazing that you're a club champion.
Two-time. Why? Why would you say that? I don't appreciate that.
You're amazing that you're a club champion?
Oh, I'm amazing. Oh, I think you're like amazing.
You're
like,
amazing that you're a club champion.
I can't believe it.
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyone's ever played paddle with you knows that you should be club champion.
All right. Now I'm I'm going to release this episode. Okay. So Chris, you are, again, with Parkside Investments, you're a wealth manager. And what does a wealth manager do? And give us a little bit of your background as well.
Sure. So graduated from college with a political science degree. People ask me how did I get into investment management from there. And I said, well, when I was in college, I used to wake up in the morning and read the New York Times. Now I wake up in the morning and read the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
So did that for a couple of years, went to business school down at Washington University in St. Louis, worked with institutional clients down there during business school and after business school, including some family offices. And then met a girl in Chicago, was traveling back and forth. And next thing you know, I'm back in Chicago and working with basically the same people we've been working with for the last 20 plus years, helping out clients, many who have been with us for that 20-year period as well, and helping out clients with mainly families, most of them being multi-generational families where we're traditionally dealing with two and three generations of any individual families
right.
that we work with.
And obviously, you know, I'm not sure when this episode's going to air exactly, but probably we're in August. And I'm not looking for you to like give us information about, but it is a crazy, like I'm waiting for a recession to happen. And I keep saying that and it's not happening, or it is happening. And no one's calling it that yet or saying that it's here. We know about inflation, but you know, and the markets have been weird, but I mean, what are you kind of seeing out there? What should people be thinking about as the market is looking insane?
You know, I think I would encourage clients to take a step back. The newspapers are there to sell newspapers, and what sells is the bad news.
Right.
What doesn't sell is the fact that we have 96% of the population actually employed, making money. Now, granted, the dollars they're making today may be only worth 96 cents on the dollar compared to what they were making last year. Yeah, you have 8% inflation, but people have gotten 4% raises, so we'll call it 96 cents. But when you have 96% of the population employed, you have twice as many job openings as people applying for jobs, the economy is actually pretty strong. And that's a good thing. So if you take a step back and realize that the newspapers are there to sell headlines, bad news sells headlines.
Yeah.
But maybe things aren't quite as bad as what people think they are.
Well, I think it also depends on, you know, how you've set yourself up for success. I mean, if you're, you know, in credit card debt and, you know, over your skis on the way that you're living your life, that's probably not super helpful either.
Very, very true. You know, part of what we do is obviously the investment portion of it. And as I was talking about earlier, that's sort of the sexy portion, saying what's going to work, what's not going to work. And certain talking about individual stocks or bonds or alternative private equity, real estate investments. But what we really do is sit down with clients, ask them really two questions. First one, what are you looking to do with your funds and what are you looking to do with your life? And then secondly, what are your challenges, your frustrations, and your concerns? And that's the phrase that I have to admit, I think I've stole from you, Steve, but trying to understand what that client is looking to do with their funds, understand what their challenges, their frustrations, and concerns are, and attacking those challenges, frustrations, concerns that they may have to say, okay, one by one, how are we going to go about doing this and coming up with some real solutions that are implementable? And if you're able to do that with a client, that's how you're able to establish this multi-decade, multi-generational type relationships that we have.
Right. And you know, obviously, I have a unique, you know, client base and audience and made up of lawyers. And what are some of the common mistakes that lawyers make with their finances, things that they, you know, get into trouble with, you know, their challenges, frustrations, concerns that they would share with you?
Yeah, no, I think being a lawyer means a different thing to everyone. It's very different if you are working for a small firm on a contingency basis versus for working for a very large white shoe law firm, and how your compensation is structured accordingly based on both those. And by the way, you could be making just as much money one or the other, and neither one really is wrong. But I don't think lawyers necessarily take into account the risks that they have in their business and how that should be translated into a wealth management plan or an investment portfolio, or how much risk you should be taking with your investments.
What would be an example? And maybe you'll give me two. One on the, you know, solo, small firm, potential contingency side, and then one on the big firm side. What are the kinds of risks that you're speaking of?
So obviously a smaller firm, especially contingency firms, you got to make sure that you have the working capital in the business to survive. So the first thing I say to them is, okay, do you have the working capital in the business? And then you do have the working capital, sort of an extra reserve, I'll call it, for your personal needs as well. Because you never quite know when that multi-million dollar paycheck, or potentially smaller, hopefully right, multi-million dollar paycheck, could be coming in.
But it could be a feast or famine. And when it's famine, you got to make sure you're protected. You've got, you know, the canned beans and in the bottled water, you know, available for when things get a little dry.
Exactly. And so once you have that pot in place, then you can go out and take risk with the rest of that portfolio.
Got it. And how about on the other side, the white shoe firm lawyer who, you know, might be making, you know, $500,000 to $1 million a year? What kind of risks are they potentially taking?
You know, a lot of them are, clearly they don't have as much risk in the business per se, but a lot of them are spending so much time focused on their clients that they have the shoemaker problem. That is, they're so much focused on their clients that they're not focusing on themselves. They're sitting on way too much cash in their portfolios because they just don't have the time to really think about that.
Yeah.
And attacking that type of problem, putting some type of systematic program in place, or churning over the cash to someone like me who is focused on their money and what is right for them, you know, that's an opportunity for them too.
Yeah. And they may not really know the answers. So there's maybe they're paying too much in tax, you know, maybe, you know, to get that cash, they gotta go through and pay all that tax. And maybe there's ways to, you know, not get it, you know, rounded, but like to make sure that you're using the system in your favor.
Well, exactly. And there are retirement plans in place, especially for sole proprietors or smaller firms, that you can put in to defer some of that income that you may have coming in, so that you're not paying as much in taxes as well. I don't think, and that's a sort of a common practice across all small business owners, not just lawyers, but it's definitely an idea of, hey, how can we go out and minimize the amount of taxes? Because the more money you save from that perspective, the more money you're going to have in the long
term. You know, is it also an issue that, and I don't know if because things have been so good for the legal community that this is an issue, but I think it's like people make more money, but then they spend more money. So like there might be people that have no clue about how much they're spending to how much they're taking in. And then, you know, it comes back to haunt them.
Yeah, my grandfather used to tell me that the more money you make, the more money you spend. And I think all of us can think about their careers and saying, when we first graduated from college, we might have been making $20,000, $30,000, $35,000. We're making $35,000. You're probably doing pretty well. And now you look at what you're spending today and say, wait, how could I have lived on what I had back then?
Yeah.
You know what? People make what they spend to some extent. We have plenty of clients. You get to a point in life for where you are making enough money and you don't really want to change your lifestyle just because you have more money.
Yeah.
That's a nice place to be.
I mean, I've got a friend who makes $1 million a year approximately, and he's always out of money. And so he's asking his, you know, father for money, and he's trying to get his in-laws to pay for this and that. His expenses are just so high, and it's just, you know, and it's just, I just think about it. I'm like, holy mackerel. Like, you know, when you look at that kind of dough, but he's not solving anything. He's just kind of like, you know, patching it up.
He's absolutely patching it up. And the question is he nervous?
Oh yeah. He's always, every time I talk to him, he brings it up. Like and a lot of it has to do with his wife spending and, you know, their kids have special needs. And so there's you know, money there. It just keeps going. It just goes on and on and on. And I don't know, like, I don't have a direction for him to get out of it. But I think there's other lawyers that are listening to this that might say, you know what, I'm kind of living beyond my means. Are there things that you work with lawyers on to get budgets and to start to figure out, here's what's coming in, here's what needs to go out, and how do we get in a better direction?
Absolutely. Going back to the idea of what are your challenges, your frustrations, and concerns. You know, I don't like to tell people, sitting down with people saying, okay, you should only spend $100 on your utility bills instead of $130. That's not what I'd like to do. But I do like to sit down with people and say, okay, how much money do you have coming in? Let's look at your bank statement. Okay, where are you actually spending the money?
Right.
Look at your credit card statements. Get a broader idea of that.
Right. Here's a suggestion. Don't have a boat. Right? I never want to own a boat. I just want to know people that have boats, because I think boats, like, they turn out to be this huge money people keep just dumping money into. But
you'd be surprised that the number of people, especially through COVID, have actually made money by selling
their boat. Yeah, selling that boat.
So
yeah.
Before you say that.
And we never realized it was an investment. We always thought it was just a depreciating asset that just went down and down and down.
Yes.
That's so funny.
So before you say don't own a boat, but you are absolutely correct that you got to sit down, you got to figure out what is a priority in your
life. Yeah.
And from there, making that appropriate investment decisions from there.
As a listener of this podcast, I hope you've learned some valuable lessons when it comes to not just managing your firm, but helping it thrive. Practice Panther, the all-in-one legal practice management software, is designed to help you do just that. It has powerful reporting that gives you real-time feedback on the health of your firm and its finances, automated workflows that free up your schedule while keeping your cases on track, and tons of native feature like e-signature and two-way texting that keeps your clients happy and informed. With Practice Panther, you don't have to do it all by yourself. Get a free demo at practicepanther.com/bethatlawyer to receive 10% off your first year.
Legalese Marketing is not your traditional marketing vendor. Instead, we're a true fractional CMO that helps you save time and spend your money the right way to build the practice of your dreams. We help through the entire process, from customizing your intake system to driving leads and even getting more reviews afterwards. Schedule your free call at legalesemarketing.com.
Hey, Steph, tell everyone what MoneyPenny does for law firms.
We're the call handling and live chat experts. A MoneyPenny receptionist can ensure that your calls are directed to the right person seamlessly, saving you time and money. Steve, did you know that 69% of people don't like to leave a voicemail?
I did not know that. That's a lot of business going away right there. Let's cut to the chase. What are you prepared to do for my listeners?
We're offering an exclusive 2-week free trial. If you're interested in hearing more, you can call me directly on 470-534-8846 and mention that you've heard this ad on Steve's podcast.
Very cool. Thanks. So let me ask it this way. How is being a wealth manager maybe similar to being a lawyer? I mean, you're managing clients and working with them to solve problems. Lawyers are doing the same thing. How do you see the similarities between what you do and what lawyers do?
Yeah, I mean, we're both in the service business and dealing with highly professional people and helping them solve their challenges. And people who, you know, we have an expertise in investments and money, you have an expertise in the law, or your clients have the expertise in the law, and we are bringing that expertise in a very practical approach of what we refer to as having that real conversation of what are you looking to do with your life? What are those challenges you face? And let's tackle it one by one. And it's very simple.
And Chris, I think, you know, when we work together, one of the things I think that really resonated with me and I think resonated with you is that the mantra of prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. And so I think there's an element of people looking for solutions and they want them fast and just tell me what to do and all that. But we got to step back and ask questions. We've got to be, you know, excellent at listening and empathy and understanding, because the reality is that you know, just throwing solutions out at people and invest in that and solve this and solve that, it's not necessarily a one size fits all. But that's how people want it to. They just want, tell me what you charge or tell me what, you know, it's going to take or whatever. And that's not the conversation you want to have. And I don't think it's the conversation lawyers want to have. What are your rates?
It's exactly, you nail on the head right there.
There we go.
Which I should expect from you. Yeah. But you're right. It's the idea of the best client relationships that we have are real relationships. Clients over time become our friends. They understand that we're looking out for their best interests. Sometimes they don't necessarily want to hear our advice, but we got to give it to them. Straight shooter anyways.
It's not always good news.
It's not always good news, especially the markets, what they're doing this year. But
I mean, I like the idea that the relationship with the client, and I think in a high level of communication, I think that's something that lawyers struggle with, is the right amount of communication. And how do we keep our clients engaged with us when there's nothing going on? So we've got to keep them engaged because the relationship depends on it. The sustainability of that client, the loyalty of that client, it's all based on the relationship and the service you're providing, excellent service you're providing. So are there things that you do or suggest to kind of, you know, to maintain the relationship, to strengthen the relationship as after you get the business?
You know, it's much more for us, much more a customized approach. Yes, we have our quarterly newsletters. Yes, when the markets are going haywire, we may send them a special note, but that doesn't do anything. And we send them birthday candy, and I think they do appreciate the birthday candy. Don't get me wrong. But it's knowing how these clients are going to tick, knowing what their hot buttons are, what they're concerned about, what's going on with their family, what's going on with their health, and being a real human being and just checking in with them in the way that you think that they want to be checked in with. You know, I have plenty of clients that I'll call them up and say, let's meet, because we haven't met in over a year. And they say, I didn't want to meet with you a year ago, and I don't want to meet with you now. And I have other clients who I'll talk to daily, not a lot, but a few. And 98% of my clients, when I'm talking to them, we're not talking about what's going on in the markets. We're talking about what's going on with their life.
Yeah.
And knowing what's going on with their life is going to help us make better financial decisions for them. In probably the same way of what's going on with their business, what's going on with their life is going to help you make better law decisions as well.
Right. So it's the human element, the relationship that is what, and the understanding is what is driving the relationship and the longevity of the client. And I think lawyers can take a note from that, because if you're just giving them an update on the case, or if you're just, you know, handling the call when the emergency comes in or whatever, that maybe isn't enough to keep clients happy and satisfied and loyal to you, because I think loyalty needs to be earned, and it needs to be something that's thought about, not something that, you know, you just hope that it happens.
Right. If you can be proactive, as well as think about what's going to be important for them, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Now, Chris, I don't know if we covered this earlier, but let's see if we did, and maybe there's a different direction we go with it. But managing money for, you know, a business owner or other clients that you have, how is it different than managing money for a lawyer? I mean, is there significant differences in how you work with a client, a general client versus a lawyer client?
Yeah. So it also, again, goes back to the type of lawyer and the type of job they have.
Okay.
You know? A lot of our lawyers, a lot of them are partnerships, whether they're early in their career and they're buying into that partnership, or later in their career and going to use that partnership to fund their retirement. You know, you start with that partnership document that lawyer has. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but a lot of the lawyers that we work with have never actually read their partnership document.
Yeah.
And so you start.
That's assuming that's even if they have one in place, right?
If they have one in place.
Yeah.
We'll assume that they have one in place. So, you know, you start with that.
Yeah.
You also have a lot of lawyers that I work with, and maybe I work with a couple of SEC lawyers as well, who they invest in their client deals. And that's the vast majority of the investments they do. So what happens is they have 80% of their money tied up in illiquid private investments, or all their investments are in real estate in the Chicago metropolitan area, because guess what? That's where their clients are. That's not the way you necessarily go about building a portfolio, but that's how some lawyers going out there and have built their investment portfolio. And those are some of the things that we have to take into account, as well as, you know, you have a lawyer that specializes, we have a lawyer that specializes in utilities and representing large utility companies. And we make sure that for him, we built a portfolio that didn't include any utility companies, just because of the conflict of interest.
Right.
As well.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If somebody's listening and they're saying, all right, I've got a wealth advisor, wealth manager, et cetera, and I don't know if he or she's the right person for me, or if I need a new one, or if I don't, what should people be looking for as warning signs that they're well, and I'm not saying to badmouth anybody, just general warning signs that a wealth advisor isn't doing his or her job, or making sure that you are being, the way you mentioned about how you really protect and advocate for your clients, but that's not, may not be happening. What are some things that they should be watching out for?
So this is the first, this is the most important thing. After your family, your money is the most important thing you have. And you want that wealth advisor to be treating your money like it is their money. So what does that mean? First of all, do they invest their own money in the same things they're recommending for you? You would be surprised by the number of wealth advisors out there that don't do that, or they use a third-party wealth advisors for their own money.
Yeah.
Especially when you're starting to deal with more wealth advisors from a bank. You want people to be investing their own money alongside your money so that everyone has their interests aligned.
Right.
That's the first thing you want. Okay. The second thing is you want someone who you can confide in. Obviously, when dealing with money is a very emotional thing. And to be able to talk about those emotions that come along with money and come along with what are those challenges, your frustrations, you want your wealth advisor to be doing that. And if someone like, yeah, he's fine or she's fine, but you probably don't have the right person in place when you have that but there.
Yeah. So I think the two things you mentioned that resonated with me was, you know, number one is they should be treating your money the way they treat their own. It's not, you know, that's a sign that they know what they're doing because they're not BSing you. It's this is what they're doing for themselves. And that should be, if they care about their money, they're going to care about your money. The ability to confide and have that, you know, relationship and that confidentiality and be able to be honest when things aren't going well or when things are going really well of what to do. Is there some level of either years of experience or pedigree or something else that they should be looking at as it relates to making that decision of who to choose?
You know, there are certain degrees that people have, whether it's a bachelor's degree, MBA, CFA, CFP. Those are all nice to see people have. It shows a certain level of commitment to their profession, which is nice for people you to have, but it's not the end all be all. Now I will say this, am I smarter 25 plus years into my career than I was 5 years into my career? Absolutely, in multiple different ways, none of them having to do with how to manage money per se.
Okay.
And it really comes down to sitting across the table from the person, do I trust this person that they're going to do the right thing with my money here? And if they don't do the right thing, then you want to be as far away from them as you can.
Yeah. And I found with market volatility that a lack of responsiveness or a lack of proactive responsiveness, is that a thing? Proactive responsiveness? Or just being proactive with communicating with me when I'm in an urgent situation. So like, you know, I think when the market tanked in 2008, you know, everything went down and I don't think, you know, there was any communication at all. And I was like blown away that someone would manage my money and not talk to me ahead of it or even after it to kind of say, you know, here's what's going on. That's what I was watching out for.
It's the same thing with being a lawyer. When you know your client is having some type of issue with their business there, you reach out to them.
Yeah, be proactive.
See how they're doing. See how could you help in any way, which may not be help from a law perspective, but giving them some referrals and people to talk to in other areas that may be able to help their business. That's what good lawyers do. And that's what good financial advisors do as well.
Yeah. And it's, again, you're looking at the business more than just, you know, the money. You're looking at the relationship and you're looking at the human being and what do I need to do outside of, you know, protecting their money to add value or to, you know, step up in an urgent situation. Chris, thank you so much, man. Before we wrap up here, you submitted a game-changing book. And when I saw the title of the book, I did smile a little bit. Do you want to share what your game-changing book is?
Sure. It was a book by the name of Sales Free Selling.
Sounds familiar. Okay.
By an author by the name of Steve Fretz.
Oh my God. All right. So now we're just at a whole other level of schmoozability.
I will say this, Steve, and I don't want to make you blush, but I think you're already blushing right now.
A little bit.
I can tell. I've been early in my career. I remember reading the Zig Ziglar books. I've been to definitely many marketing strategies of you talk to someone about their pain, you ask them open-ended questions. I've been around some very good people who I thought could sell ice to Eskimos. And I never quite understand what their sales techniques were and why they were so good. And then going through your program, reading Sales Free Selling, working with you, the light bulb just sort of went on. And I realized it has nothing to do with investments. It's all about that conversation that you have, talking to the client about what they're looking to do with their money, what are their challenges, their frustrations, and their concerns, and having that real conversation there. People just really appreciate that human side of what we do.
Yeah.
And whether
I appreciate
it's advisors or what, or the law, people in the law profession.
Yeah. I mean, there's a level of understanding that needs to occur today that is never occurred in the past. I mean, people want to feel understood. They want to feel empathized with. And sorry, it's been a long day already. And at the end of the day, you know, they'll buy if they like you, trust you, and feel that you're someone that can solve their problems. And it isn't about the sales pitch or the sizzle of the steak. And that's what people that go on, you know, quote unquote pitch meetings may not realize, is that it isn't about, you know, the firm's, you know, bench, at least initially. It's not about, you know, the case is won. It's not about, you know, how great you are as a lawyer or a financial advisor or anything. It has to do with how people feel about you and the level of understanding. So I tried to put that into the book, Sales Free Selling, with a bunch of different steps, but I appreciate you, your kind words, and I love working with you, and I'm glad that we remain friends. I still want to get, I want to get on the pickle court with you and show you I can play that sport too. Maybe not at quite the same level, but I'm trying. I think we'd have some fun.
I'm sure you'll be very good at pickle. You're already great. Club champion of paddle now.
There we go.
You've never beaten me in paddle.
And then, I like
but you are a club champion.
So I like to play on the same team as you.
You're
solid. You're solid. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show. And if people want to get in touch with you to have a conversation and they like your approach and everything, I'd love for them to reach out to you. What's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, you can always Google Parkside Investments or email me at Chris, C-H-R-I-S dot Engelman, E-N-G-E-L-M-A-N at Parkside, P-A-R-K-S-I-D-E. INV.com. Yeah. Or you can always reach out to Steve as well. And I'm sure that you'll put us in touch with.
Yep. And all the, you know, email and website and all that will be in the show notes. So just look below, you know, where you are looking at your phone right now, for example, and you'll see all of that jazz. Well, glad we're able to catch up. We probably need to grab a lunch or something. We're both in the same arena area together. So we just need to get together for a sport or a meal or something. So I'll spearhead that.
Awesome.
Thanks again, Chris.
Good deal. Thanks, Steve. Talk to you later.
You got it. Hey, everybody. Thank you for spending some time with Chris and I. Lots and lots of great takeaways. I've got my usual page of notes of, you know, wisdom that Chris shared. And again, if you're someone that struggles with your money, if you are looking to make sure you make the best investments, I mean, this is a side of the show we don't talk about. I help you build wealth. That's great. But then you got to deal with the wealth. You got to figure out how to protect it and make sure it'll work for you, not have you work for it. So anyway, everybody, continue to listen, and I appreciate you spending time with us to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Be well. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretzen.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.